Father, we just pray right now, and we just pray over ourselves. We pray that our hearts will be good ground to receive your word. We pray over ourselves that we will have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us as a church and to us personally in Jesus' name. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll have our attention today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Well, Christmas is only just a few weeks away, and looking forward to Christmas. Who's looking forward to Christmas? Come on. Let's be happy about Christmas. Amen. Okay, great. Let's not be grumpy bums. Let's be happy in Jesus' name. But we're fast approaching Christmas, and we're fast approaching the end of 2015. And so I want to bring a message today that I've called Why Life is So Unfair and What You Can Do About It. Why Life is So Unfair and What You Can Do About It. And I'm really dinkum about this message today. And so I just pray, and I've been praying, that this message will encourage you through Christmas, amen, and help make 2016 an excellent year for you. Because the best is? Absolutely. American President John F. Kennedy announced to the American people in one of his speeches, and he was a great speaker, by the way, but he said, life is unfair. As if the people didn't know. One of the world's richest men, Bill Gates, in attempting to pass on his wisdom for success, stated that life is not fair, get used to it. Wow, thanks, Bill. Our own former Prime Minister, Malcolm Fraser, famously remarked that life wasn't meant to be. Who was around then? Who remembers him saying that? Who felt like he really wanted to smack him one for saying that? Yeah. Then someone else said, if life doesn't break you today, don't worry, it will try again tomorrow. Amen. Well, that's just lifted your spirits, hasn't it? Because of our accumulated life experiences, we all understand, every single one of us in this room today, that not everything in life is fair. We started learning this basic lesson about life when we could never win past the parcel. Our birthday parties we attended as children. It just wasn't. Then the issue of unfairness was reinforced when you played sport at school. And the teacher chose two popular kids as team captains. Remember that? And then they had to choose from the group of kids before them whom they wanted on their team. I hated that. It wasn't fair that nobody wanted you on their team. Or me. It was always you and the nerdy kid who was last to be chosen. It just wasn't fair. I'm still trying to recover from those days. And what's really disturbing is that, you know, you think it's you and the nerdy kid, but you know what the nerdy kid's thinking? He's thinking it's him and the nerdy kid. Anyway, we soon discovered that bad things happen to good people. And sometimes good things happen to bad people. I wasn't going to say this, but I'll say it real quick because I really want to get to the meat of the message. But I remember when I used to go to Bellmead Primary School, had a wonderful principal, but he made a huge mistake as a principal. I remember as a kid, remembering what it was. I can remember we used to have this kid in the school, and he was the worst behaved kid in the whole school. And then one day, he came walking through the school at lunchtime because we all had to sit while we ate our lunches, walked down the veranda with a brand new bike that the principal had bought for him. And I look back on that, and we don't know anything about that kid. Maybe he came from a bad family, and the principal was trying to do the right thing. But I suspect he was trying to bribe him for good behavior or something like that. And all the kids sitting there eating their lunch, bad kid, brand new bike, principal, not fair. So we've all observed over and over again how life does not seem to add up fairly. However, if we dare to be honest, who dares to be honest today? Yeah, good, because you're Christian, so let's be honest. Sometimes we also get to enjoy unfair things that happen in our favor when someone else has missed out. For example, I think it's unfair that we are living here in a country that is free of war and where there is clean drinking water and plenty of food when there are many people who have been born in war-torn countries where clean water and food is scarce. And we're not more deserving than anybody else in the world. We're not better than anybody else. It's just that we just happened to be born in the right place. That's not fair, really, is it, for most people in the world? No, we didn't. We didn't. But life's unfair, isn't it? And the unfairness of life is a hope crusher. For example, when someone's worked really hard towards a goal or worked towards building a relationship with someone they love, and then suddenly something just happens that they never expected to happen, and it steals away all chances of success in that relationship or for them to achieve their goal. And then that person feels hurt, and they find it hard to be hopeful again about a better future. Unfairness crushes hope. And perhaps today, even here in with us, here in this room, maybe there's people here today, maybe you are wrestling with difficulties that are really just, they are unfair. Maybe you've been misunderstood. Maybe you've been misrepresented. And you feel that you don't deserve the struggle because really you've done nothing wrong that you can think of. And maybe you've even prayed to God about it. And nothing seems to have happened after praying to God. And God seems quiet about the issue. And that kind of seems unfair too. Perhaps you're wondering if your struggle is because of a sin. Or maybe you've decided that perhaps it's God's will that you go through your tough situation because there's a lesson for you to learn in your difficulty. Either way, he still feels terribly unfair. And so the title of this message is Why Life is So Unfair and What You Can Do About It. So first of all, we're just going to focus on the why first. Why first, and then we can figure out what we can do about it. The reason why life is so unfair, and it's an important reason, is because the whole world is wired up to be unfair. The whole world's wired up to be unfair. Now, you might ask, why would God wire up the world to be so unfair? But I never said that it was God who wired up the world to be unfair. God never made the world to be unfair. I want everybody to understand that. God, this is really important, God does not play cruel games with people's lives. God takes your life and the quality of your life very seriously. So then we have to ask the question, who wired up the world to be so unfair? And 1 John chapter 5 verse 19 tells us the answer. It says that we know that we are the children of God, or we are children of God, and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. The world around us is under the control of the evil one. That is so important to understand that, brothers and sisters, because we must never blame God for the bad and the unfair things that happen in our lives. And we do it so easily. Rather, we should blame the real author of your struggles, and that is the evil one or the devil. One of the songs that some Christians like to sing, and I mean no offense with this comment, but one of the songs that people sing, particularly children, and yet this song is in direct contradiction to the Bible, is he's got the whole world in his hands, talking about God. It's a nice tune. Poor theology. God is not responsible for ISIS. He's not responsible for the wars, terror. He's not responsible for hatred flowing around the world. Hatred is not God's. God is not responsible for the unfairness of life. God is not responsible for the troubles in your family. The Bible says the world around us is under the control of the evil one. The devil is the author of the pain and the suffering occurring all around the world. The devil is your enemy. God is not your enemy. The devil is your enemy. And the devil hates you a lot. And he hates your family. God has never been against you. Not even for one day. God is always working for your good. He loves you so much that He is willing to lay His life down for you. And that's what He did in Jesus Christ. So we have to ask the next question. How did the devil get control of the world? Did he overpower God? No, of course not. Did God sell the world to the devil? Of course not. None of those things happened. The devil is in control of the world because he stole it. He stole it. Let me explain how this happened. I'll explain very quickly. When God originally made the world, the Bible says God called it very good. God wired up the world to be very good on every level. And then God made our ancestors, Adam and they were very good too. The only thing that they had missing was belly buttons. Anyway, moving on. Anyway, some of you will get that in a few minutes' time, but that's okay. Anyway, the earth, in all its grandeur, it belonged to God. Because God made everything. He gave Adam, and then He gave Adam and Eve a purpose, and He gave them a command right at the beginning. You've got this on the screens. God said to them, to Adam and Eve, this is actually the first commandment. He said, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, have lots of babies. Fill the earth. Govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. I love that word scurry. Could we say it together? Scurry. A great word. Have you scurried today? Amen. But fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So God handed the reigning of the world over to Adam and Eve and their future children, which would be us. And God said, govern it, the world. Reign over it, the world. Adam and Eve had the God-given responsibility of stewarding the world, and they were very much in charge. Then God also gave Adam and Eve another command. God had planted an unusual tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden with an incredibly weird name. It was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then God said to Adam and Eve in Genesis 2 verse 17, He says, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. There would have been thousands of the trees, except this one. Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. That's what God said. Now, God did not want Adam and Eve to be robots. He wanted them to choose to serve Him, obey Him. So this tree was in the middle of the garden so Adam and Eve could exercise their God-given choice to either obey Him or rebel against Him. And Adam and Eve loved God, and God loved them. And life was very good. There was no unfairness in the world that God had created. Adam and Eve had authority over the animals. God had put them and their future children in charge of the world. But then the evil one came in the form of a... And he lied. The snake lied. He lied to Adam and Eve and he contradicted everything God had said about the tree in the middle of the garden. And the evil one cleverly persuaded Eve to eat the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, and she did just that. Then she got her husband to eat, Adam to eat the fruit as well, and he did just that. And that one act of disobedience against God had numerous catastrophic effects on everything. A separation came between God and Adam and Eve. And that disobedience took on a life of its own that they never expected. And it invaded their souls like a soul poison. And then they passed that spiritual poison onto their children, and to their children, and to their children. And it's in us today. That was the worst thing that happened, where people became sinners. Then what is called the second law of thermodynamics kicked in. And then decay started to affect the earth. The world's ecology changed. And instead of people carefully looking after the earth, we've destroyed it. And today, many animals have become extinct. It's because of the Garden of Eden. Climate change. Don't want to get too controversial. But come on, it's not a recent phenomenon. It all began in the Garden of Eden and accelerated in Noah's day. The earth has suffered ever since. It's not just people. The earth has suffered. The earth is groaning, not because of pollution in the air, but because of sin. I'd love to do a whole sermon on that one day about the land needing rest. The Bible talks a lot about that. But something else happened that day that people don't realize. The day Adam and Eve ate the fruit was the same day when they handed over to the evil one the authority of the world that God had given to them. When they listened to the devil instead of listening to God, they were effectively saying, "We believe the words of the devil over the words of God." And at that moment, the evil one, the devil, Lucifer, became their Lord and their master. The devil stole from Adam and Eve the stewardship of the world. That's why when the devil tempted Jesus, he says to Jesus, "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, because they are mine to give to anyone I please." This is what the devil said to Jesus. "And I will give it to you, Jesus, if you will worship me." Interestingly, Jesus never debated over the devil's claim of ownership of the kingdoms of the world, because Jesus knew what Adam and Eve had done. Jesus knew they had sold out to the devil. So Jesus simply quoted back to the devil what the scriptures say, that you must worship the Lord your God and serve Him. Only serve Him. Jesus resisted temptation by the word of God, but Jesus knew the devil controlled the kings of the world. So the reason why the world is so very unfair is because the evil one is in control, and he is. Injustice, pain, and unfairness are hallmarks of the devil. He's running the show, and the world is spiraling right out of control. Ever since you were born, you've lived in a world that's unfair because the evil one is unfair. The currents have always flowed against you. You felt it. Everyone feels it. And even creation is groaning, waiting for the day to be free from the tyranny of sin and the tyranny of this evil usurper called the devil. So now, everybody still with me? So now that we know why the world is so unfair, we must ask the real big question. So what can we do about this unfairness? Is there anything that we can do in response to this appalling situation? And the answer is a resounding yes, amen, praise God. Thank God. There is something we can do that will make 2016 a better year than 2015. Just because life is unfair, and just because the evil one is doing his thing, it does not mean that we have to be doormats for the devil where he dominates and controls us. I would have thought you would have been jumping out of your chair with us today. Do you want to just practice? Just because life is unfair and just because the evil one is doing his thing, it does not mean that we have to be doormats for the devil where he dominates and controls us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Out of all the unfair acts, and let me explain why. Out of all the unfair acts or situations in history, nothing compares to the unfair suffering of Jesus Christ. He was crucified and he carried our sins so we could be right with God. Everything that happened to Jesus was utterly unfair. Jesus, who never sinned, Jesus, who never actually had that poison in his soul and in his spirit, he died like he had sinned. That's unspeakably unfair. But Jesus Christ never stayed captive to that unfairness. Jesus Christ did not indulge in a pity party over how he was treated by the Pharisees. He never indulged in a pity party over how Judas betrayed him. Jesus did not wallow in self-pity over the way God the Father punished him for the sins he did not commit. On the contrary, Jesus Christ triumphed over unfairness that was put upon him. Jesus triumphed over sin, and he triumphed over the evil one. Come on. Now we know, this is where it gets a little bit better, we know that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the death
are dead and or from death and destruction by the mighty power of God. Amen? We also know that the devil tried really hard, but he could not hold Jesus in the grave. Unfairness could not conquer Jesus. The devil tried to exercise his power and authority that he stole from Adam and Eve over Jesus Christ, but he soon discovered that he had no authority over Jesus. The devil could not control Jesus. In fact, no one can control Jesus. And by rising again from the dead, Jesus Christ delivered a fatal blow, body blow, to the authority and power of the devil. Amen? I was thinking of getting somebody up here so I could demonstrate what a blow would be like. But they might hit me back, so I'm not going to do that. And after Jesus rose again from the dead, the devil needed trauma counseling. Amen? And he's still not recovered today. Now, this is it. Now, just really think. I'm not going to be much longer, but just think. Today, Jesus Christ stands in contrast to our ancestor Adam. Jesus Christ, Adam. Jesus succeeded where Adam failed. Adam sold out to the devil, but Jesus Christ conquered the devil. Did I just swap hands then, getting confused? That really threw you, didn't I? I just saw the look on you. Okay, this one's Jesus, all right? Jesus succeeded where Adam sold out to the devil, but Jesus Christ conquered the... Amen, we got it. Now, every person has a choice about whom they're going to let define their life. We can either live under the shadow of Adam. Stay with it, Rochelle. Stay with it. The foot's the devil, Adam, Jesus. We can either live under the shadow of, or we can live under the shadow of
Jesus.
Most of humanity lives out their lives being defined by the man. They are captive to sin, unfairness, and the tyranny of the But some people, particularly at Real Life Church, have the good sense, amen. I'm looking at people who've got good sense today, amen. To have their lives defined by Jesus Christ. We've become captured by God's amazing grace. When you get born again, you're saying that your identity is no longer defined by... Your identity is no longer defined by your fallen ancestor, who passed on all his sin to all the generations. You're reborn. You're reborn. You're born again. You've had a new birth. It's a spiritual birth, so your identity is now defined by Jesus Christ. You're of the same faith lineage as Jesus Christ. You now call God Abba, Father. We've changed. And the Apostle Paul said this in Ephesians 1 verse 19. I also pray that you'll understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. I just want to read that again. I'll also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. That's Jesus. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. That same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead is available for us who believe in Jesus because we're now defined by Him. Amen. That means, just as the devil had no control over Jesus Christ, then the devil has no control over you. Amen. 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 Let this splash over you today in Jesus' name. The evil one no longer has the final say. He does not have the final say over you, amen, your health, or your children. Amen. He doesn't have the final say. God has the final say. The devil wants you to think he does have power over you. Because he wants you to actually be afraid of him. He wants you to be misinformed about him and about Jesus. He wants to deceive you. He wants to trick you into thinking he's something that he's not. But I'm speaking the truth today, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're defined by Jesus and what Jesus has done for you. And that's what it means to be born again. Amen? Are you still with me? So what can we do when life is so unfair? Firstly, three things. Firstly, we remember that the unfair situations of life are subject to change. This problem will pass and I will still be standing. Jesus suffered unfairly. He died, but then he rose again from the dead. You might be suffering unfairly today, but your best days are still ahead of you in Jesus' name. That unfair situation is subject to change, and God's word has a final say over your life, not what people think of you.
Amen.
And not what the devil says about you.
Amen.
God's resurrection power in you is greater than the unfair stuff that is coming your way. You will prevail in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Secondly, we remember that the unfair situations of life do not have authority over us. You're not under the authority of the evil one anymore. You change kingdoms. You're in God's kingdom now. You're under his authority. That's why the scriptures say, though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. That unfair situation is not going to keep you down because it does not have the power or the authority any longer in Jesus' name. The evil one cannot control you. God is raising you up. He's raised you up in Jesus' name. He's bringing you through. Get ready for a breakthrough. Come on, get ready for a breakthrough. Think breakthrough. Talk breakthrough. Believe breakthrough. Pray breakthrough. Have breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thirdly, we will pray with faith because God is a prayer answering God. We remember that God is not a reluctant God. And let's not pray like that. God's not a reluctant God. He's not a stingy God. God is not holding back from you. On the contrary, and we read it earlier, and we from the newsletter, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about some things.
Everything,
man, come on, everything. Thank him for all he's done, then you will experience God's peace, God's shalom in Jesus' name. God urges us to pray about everything and to keep praying. Don't give up by deciding that your unfair problem is sent from God to teach you a lesson. Don't go down that route. Please don't go down there. Don't give up and say, oh, it must be a problem sent from God to teach me a lesson. Although you're actually probably not really sure what the lesson is. Now, I know that God, we know from the Bible, God can use any situation in life for the greater good. If you're going through a bad situation, God can use it for good. But you know, God has given us his word to teach us spiritual lessons. This is how he teaches you your lessons. And prayer is part of our spiritual warfare, and you are in a battle. And through prayer, we bring heaven and into our families, into our children's lives, to our church. We need prayer for our church and our community. If there's no answer to your prayers, and I've just about finished, then simply check to make sure that your prayers are in line with God's word. You know, if you're praying for $1 million and your prayer hasn't been answered yet, just check the word of the Lord. But if you're praying that God will prosper you and meet all of your needs, that's a good prayer to pray. You know, it's in line with God's word. Just if you get no answers, just check to make sure your prayers are tweaked to what the word of God tells us. The Bible, that's God's word. And then if they are in line with the Bible, and if you're living in obedience to the Bible, remember we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, then just keep on praying. And sooner or later, you will touch heaven and the answer will come your way in Jesus' name. So in conclusion, can we say that word in conclusion? In conclusion, that's two words, isn't it? Can we say those two words? In conclusion. Finally, yeah. Thanks, Eleanor. Life is unfair and we know whose fault it is. But by the grace of God, we're not going to give up and be a doormat anymore for the devil to wipe his dirty feet upon us and our family. Thank God that the Bible says this in Psalm 91 verse 13. It says, "You shall tread upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet." The devil is under our feet in Jesus' name. So therefore, because our lives are defined by Jesus Christ, we remember that the unfair situations of life are subject to change. We remember that the unfair situations of life do not have authority over us. And we will pray with faith because God is a prayer answering God. Amen. Let's pray right now. Let's just pray. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in your family, in your life, with your kids, your grandkids, stuff. I know we've prayed once already, but we're going to direct our prayers to the unfair situations, those stubborn situations. Maybe there's some situations you've just actually given up on and just thought, oh, well, it must be God's will. Absolutely, it's not. The devil's holding on. We want to see breakthrough in Jesus' name. So maybe you might even just lift your hands to the Lord. And Father, we just come before you and we pray over every unfair situation. Lord, sometimes they become footholds in our lives that the devil uses. And we're saying enough is enough. Enough is enough. We belong to you. We come against every unfair situation in our lives, in our children, in our marriage, in our grandchildren. Father, we pray today, your kingdom come. Your will be done in our families in Jesus' name. We come against this usurper. Lord, we cast him down. We come against his plans. We pray today that the tables will be turned on the wicked one in Jesus' name. We cast him out from our families. We pray your will be done in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen.